I found that video very helpful for me, and as I was preparing for this, and I wanted to show it just so we were on the, in the same boat, and wanted to speak for just one further Sunday about forgiveness. And we have seen so far how difficult forgiveness can be. Some people say, I can't forgive what that person's done to me. I've heard people say that, and sometimes we may say, I forgive you, but we're really thinking, no, I haven't forgotten. I haven't put that away from me. Forgiveness is a very difficult thing. Somebody stands on your toe and it hurts a little bit. That's okay. It doesn't matter. I forgive you. But somebody does something really, really nasty. I mean, really big. How do we forgive people like that? Some people find it almost impossible. We've also seen how Christ-like forgiveness is. And this is where the crunch comes. I want to be Christ-like, but I can't forgive that person. Would Christ forgive them? I know there's justice and all of that, and the judge of all the earth will do right one day, but for now, we've got to trust him for that. But our call, when someone trespasses against us according to the Lord's Prayer, which we'll say later, you know, is to forgive. Forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against. So that's the word pesha that we've been listening to. And so this morning I want to talk just for a few moments about the power behind forgiveness. And it's in this word that the video was talking a lot about pesha. We are made in the image of God, but something happened to us to make us miss the mark. We were aiming for a target. We were aiming for the bullseye, but we missed it. I remember when I first went to college at NTC back in 1981, Norma Downey was her name. She was the Old Testament lecturer, and she talked about this word for sin in the Old Testament, which meant, you know, you've got a bow and arrow and you're shooting at the target, and you think you've got a spot on, you shoot, and you miss it. You miss the target. That's what sin is, she said. And, you know, it's still what we're talking about today. You know, if people can understand that, it brings it right down to ordinary, everyday talk. We aim for the right spot, but our sights were off, and so we missed the target. We transgressed. It was pasha. I was really glad when Jack invited me to his stag do, almost 2 months ago, Airsoft, can't remember the name of the place we went to, what was it called? Anyway, but we Airsoft, and it was all about shooting. We were guys, weren't we? We were going off for a stag do. But it wasn't the paintball thing, you know, where somebody shoots a paintball at you and you can see it coming. You can't get out the way and you've got this blue paint all over you. Well, this was these pellets, which went really, really fast, and we had to appropriately gear ourselves up, of course, with coverings and headgear and gloves, because if you got a pellet on the side of your neck, boy, did it sting. It went so fast, but it was great fun. And it's not too much of an exaggeration to say that my gun was almost shooting at right angles. I was aiming, and I was shooting. Why couldn't I hit this? And then someone said to me, adjust the sights. You know, it's marvelous when you adjust the sight and the target you're aiming for, you can actually hit it spot on. It's wonderful, and really that's what I'm talking about this morning, adjusting our sights in life so that we can hit what we're aiming at, we can achieve what we're trying to do, because failure is an awful thing, even at a game of airsoft, especially when you're competitive and you like to win, and you come like 6 out of 8 people, you know, it's just not good. Hang my head in shame. On a more serious note, in our conscious attempts at getting it right, some people, this is true, some people are wracked with a feeling of failure every week. Can you believe that? Every week. Every week they try to do something and they miss the target. Every week they try to hit it spot on. They work as hard as they can, but they can't get it. And by the end of the week, what's wrong with me? All I seem to do is fail. Why can't I hit the target? Why can't I manage to do what I tried to do? We miss by a mile, we often say. There's another saying about like that. It's in football. You know what it is? A miss is as good as a mile. Have you heard of that one before? A miss is, really? A miss is as good as a mile. It's true. It's true. If the football, I don't know if you're watching the championship match last night, a few people, the post and bar was hit twice last night. Doesn't count. They were great shots. Doesn't matter. You can hit the bar and the post every minute for 90 minutes, but you've still missed the goal, literally. You've still missed the goal. For 90 minutes, the crowd packed into the stadium can ooh and ah all that time. But until someone actually hits the target, they might as well play rubbish, honestly. It just doesn't count. And I want to speak to you about the power behind forgiveness, the power behind all forgiveness is Jesus Christ. He is the power behind all forgiveness. Here's our verse for this morning. The last verse that was read today, God made him, that is Jesus, who had, I've highlighted it, no sin. He made him to become, to be sin for you and me, for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, that we might hit the target, that we might achieve something in life, that we might fulfill God's goal and plan for our lives. Such a packed verse. I don't know, time's almost gone. but I think this verse is tantamount to saying Jesus never missed the mark that he was aiming at. Never. Never. Can you get that? There's some people who are really, really good and talented, and they always manage, you know, they set out to do something and they do it. But there's always one thing they haven't done. But Jesus never missed the mark. Jesus was experiencing something that no other human being has ever felt. We have all failed. We have all let God down. We've all missed a target. For all have sinned and fallen what? Short. Fallen short. We missed a target. That's the word for sin. That's the word. All of us have aspired to do this, but we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus never, ever fell short. Not once. The gospel record declares God's pleasure in his Son. He said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." God never had an opportunity, God the Father never had an opportunity to say to Jesus, "Never mind, son, you'll do better next time." I really mean that. Not once did he have to say that. Now, of course, as a young boy, he learned things by doing things just the way we did. He developed skills. He learned how to become a master craftsman with wood. And his life was a learning curve just like ours. But in all of that, he never missed the mark, ethically or morally. Never. His understanding of Old Testament scriptures was without equal. His spirituality was profound and deep, even as a 12-year-old boy. And at that tender age, you remember the scripture in the gospel, how he amazed the elders in Jerusalem with his reflective wisdom. Where did this young guy at age 12 get all this learning from? And they were sitting listening to him. Solomon looked foolish compared to Jesus Christ. One word sums up Jesus. I'm sure we could all think lots of really good words to sum him up. But for me this morning, there's only one word, and it's the word matchless. He is matchless, friends. He is without equal. Jesus was peerless. He was unmatched. He was unrivaled. He was incomparable. In fact, Jesus becomes the one to emulate for all of us who, by faith, want to be Christians. We're all called to be Christ's ambassadors because he is the reconciler. You know this thing in the video where he was talking about this word transgress, which is a destruction of relationships, and this passage is all about God and man being brought back together again? Jesus did that. Jesus did that. Just a series of broken relationships, one after another, is what we find in our world. You'll see it, you'll find it in politics, you'll find it in the celebrities of our world, you'll find it in homes, you'll find it in the community, you'll find it everywhere. We're fed up listening to about broken relationships and the headlines of our media. And this is where the matchless Son of Man, as Jesus referred to himself, Son of Man, the one who was sinless, completely void of transgression, trespass, failure, he bears upon his body on the cross all of our transgressions, past, present, and future. All of that sin, it all comes to bear upon him, that pesha, that transgressions. Look again at the gravity of these words in verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And in this new humanity, to walk perfectly before God. Our aspiration to please God with everything that we have. There's so many religions in our world, and we're living today in a multi-faith country, and I really do believe that we are to have a respect for those of other faiths and those of other creeds and even those who have none. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And just like Jesus did throughout his 3-year ministry, why he even stopped and complimented a Samaritan. He, a Jew, said, let me tell you the story about the good Samaritan. Some Jews felt contradiction. No Samaritan could be good. And while we're not to look down upon the faith of others, we are to lift our gaze to the highest point and see the matchless one seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That's where he is. That's where he is. What he is matchless. But what he did was priceless. It was priceless. You can't put a price on what he did for you and for me. A couple of weeks ago, someone very kindly gave me a ticket to hear Rend Collective. Anyone heard Rend Collective before? Anyone heard them in concert? Well, at least a couple of people here, yeah. And thoroughly enjoyed them. I don't know if you've ever heard the band or not before. Some of the music has been sung here in church. We have sung a couple of their songs over the years. They're an Irish band from Northern Ireland in Bangor. I remember those days in Sunday school. The whole Sunday school, you know, like we filled a bus in those days, 50, 60 kids with mums and dads. We went off to Bangor for the day. You know, these days we go for a week's holiday or 2 weeks holiday, or even a 6-week sabbatical. But in those days, you went for a day's outing. Remember the day's outing, anyone? Remember the day's outing, yeah? Well, this band, unique Christian band from Bangalore, write a lot of their own songs, unique style, full of energy. My goodness, I was almost tired watching. They were so energetic and so positive about the victory of Jesus Christ for every believer. You know, it just radiated from them. And halfway through, there was a break, and one of the members stood up, and I've never heard someone speak so powerfully for 10 minutes. I wish I could do that. I need at least 20. He spoke so powerfully for 10 minutes, and he was walking about with a mic with a strong Northern Irish accent, and he was funny, he was frank, he was true, he was sure, he was victorious in everything he said, and everyone understood him. No words went over their heads, no Old Testament words, beg your pardon, but sometimes we need to look at those. No Greek words, but the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. But he spoke in a way that everyone could understand exactly what he was saying. And then they played flat out for an hour. I mean flat out. It was loud. It was long. It was noisy. It was energetic. And when they sang their last song and left the stage, why, 600 or 700, most of them young people, felt older, most of them young people, they were clapping and cheering, and they just kept on cheering and cheering as you do until they come back on again for an encore. And they came back on and they sung three songs. Thought that was pushing a bit. Come on, do an encore and go again. Three songs. Three songs. I want to tell you something. I've never seen anything like it before. Never seen anything like it before. They sang their last song, and it was a very loud, lively song. And then it all slowed down, and the lights started to go dim. And they started to sing, and everyone joined in. All these 600, 700 people joined in. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. And we were singing flat out, and all these hands were waving back and forwards. And then they repeat three times, they sang it through, and the stage got darker and darker and darker. And then I realized, before we had finished singing, they'd actually left the stage. They'd actually left the stage. And the band had left the stage with us, worshiping the Lord together. It was priceless. They had not been there to entertain after all. They had been there to lead a worship band, to lead a worship time, so that before they got to the end, they could slip off and leave us all singing this worship song in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what a church service really should do to everyone? It doesn't always do that, I'm sorry, but you know what it should do? A church service should leave us worshiping in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's what this is all about. And we're meant to be one together. And how can we worship if we don't forgive one another? What is the New Testament say if you're about to give your offering, you remember you've got something? Go and sort that out first, and then come and worship. But worship, you know, it's all about Jesus. Do you want to be part of something priceless in people's lives? Of course you do. What Jesus did for humanity was priceless. And today I see so many people doing priceless things for free and for others. And they all take their inspiration from the Lord. And there is indeed a new humanity upon the earth, and Jesus was the first. And we have followed in his footsteps. One that was matchless and priceless, the life of Jesus. And our church has had a part in Vision Africa over the last 16, 17 years. Lives have been transformed, and we have helped to bring that about. Children in another part of the world, in a slum, in the city of Nairobi, and outer line parts. And there's been a bit of a blip in their proceedings, and Victoria, the new director of Vision Africa, wants to turn this around, and I promised her we would try and do something about that, and that's why we're having our little gift while we're having our meal. And by the way, I just want to remind you that over these last 3 weeks that I've been preaching, we've actually been talking about forgiveness. And today, people are discovering that forgiveness is the priceless, matchless gift of God. There's nothing like it anywhere in the world. Nowhere else. The power behind forgiveness in our world today is Jesus.